Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
I'm Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. And welcome to another episode of Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic here at WGNplus.com. You can find it now, the podcast, every Monday by going to WGNradio.com, and there's a prompt for WGN Plus, and that's how you can find it. Every Monday, a new episode. Welcome to episode number 34. I'm feeling very spry today because I just celebrated a birthday yesterday, January 8th. So even though I'm adding a year, I don't know, I'm feeling a little better and looking forward to a very fun 2017. So what I thought I would do is offer you a gift as opposed to me getting a gift on my birthday. I thought I'd offer you one. A few weeks ago, I was filling in on WGN, and the day after Christmas, on the 26th, I was on from 2 to 5 a.m., filling in for Nick DiGilio, and I thought it would be fun during that time, as it was just literally hours after people may have been celebrating Christmas, at 2 a.m. on the 26th, I was still hoping to maybe squeeze out the last few drops of holiday cheer, and so what I did was a one-man presentation of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol. I did all the characters with all their voices, and it turned out very well. I had a ball doing it. It was kind of tiring. I was surprised. It took a lot of effort. I didn't expect that to happen, but I had a great time doing it. Got a really nice response from those who have heard it, listened to it live, or had heard it later on. And so I thought it would be great to just do that as a podcast here so it could live, and maybe you can download and keep it. And hey, who knows? Maybe every Christmas you can pull that out and maybe in early December and help you get into the mood, because there's nothing better than Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol to help inject a little Christmas spirit into your life and also a little sense of self-reflection as well as self-redemption. And so I had a great time doing it. So here is my gift to you, an Elton Jim's Christmas Carol.
An Elton Jim Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol in prose. Being a Ghost, Story of Christmas by Charles Dickens. I have endeavored in this ghostly little book to raise the ghost of an idea which shall not put my readers out of humor with themselves or with each other, or with the season, or with me. May it haunt their houses pleasantly, and no one wish to lay it. Their faithful friend and servant, C.D., December 1843. Stave 1. Marley's Ghost. Marley was dead to begin with. There's no doubt about that whatever. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was as good upon exchange for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Marley was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead? Of course he did. Scrooge and Marley were partners for I don't know how many years. But he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone, was Scrooge. A squeezing and wrenching and grasping and scraping and clutching and covetous old sinner. And once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve, as old Scrooge sat busy at his counting house, a grim, cheerless place, if there ever was one, the door of Scrooge's counting house was open, that he might keep an eye on the clerk, Bob Cratchit, who in a cold and dismal little cell beyond worked on his ledgers. That's 20, 21, 22. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing ye dismay. At 23, 26, 29, 9, carry the 2. God is right, oh, tide. 11, 13, 17, 7. Bob Cratchit! Yes, Mr. Scrooge. Stop that inferno caterwauling. Yes, sir. 9, 15, 17, 21. Carry the one and all the impudence singing their idiotic Christmas carols at my very door. Let nothing you discratch it. Go on now. Get away from my door. Go somewhere else and bellow your Christmas carols. Or I'll give you in charge.
I'm sorry, Governor. It's just an old custom at Christmas time, you know.
Yes. And I don't want any of your old customs. So take your fellow fools and go away. Christmas, blah.
Right, sir. Merry Christmas anyway, sir.
Ah. Now, Cratchit, you go get that letter from Higgins and Blackhorn, Cratchit. Then I want you to finish posting this ledger, and after that you can pop over to Fothergill's and tell Heath from Fothergill that you've come after the 17 shillings and 6 pence that he's owed me since Michaelmas. And tell him I shall have a constable over there if he doesn't pay up at once.
But, Mr. Fothergill's wife has been ill, sir.
What do I care about his wife? I want my 17 and 6.
Well, I just thought, sir, that it being Christmas, sir...
Christmas! Christmas. You mention that word to me one more time, Bob Cratchit. Now, Merry Christmas, Uncle! Merry Christmas, Bob!
Merry Christmas, Mr. Fred.
God save you, Uncle! That humbug. Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Now, I'm sure you don't mean that. I mean just that. Exactly that. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you? You're poor enough. Well, what right have you to be so dismal about Christmas, Uncle? You're rich enough. Nah. Now, Uncle, don't be cross. What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this Merry Christmas? Out upon Merry Christmas! What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying your bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older, but not an hour richer? A time for balancing your books and having every item in them through a round dozen of months presented dead against you? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes around with this Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled in his own pudding, buried with a stake of holly through his heart. He should! Uncle! Nephew! Ugh. Keep Christmas in your own way. Let me keep it in mine. Keep it? But you don't keep it, Uncle! Well, then let me leave it alone, then. What do you want, anyway? A Christmas gift, no doubt. I come to wish you a Merry Christmas, Uncle. Merry Christmas, eh? Much good Christmas may do you. Much good it has ever done you.
There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited, I dare say, Uncle. Christmas among the rest. But I am sure I have always thought of Christmas time when it has come around. Apart from the veneration due to the sacred name and origin, if anything belonging to it can be apart from that, is a good time, a kind time, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. The only time I know of in the long calendar of the year where men and women seem to, by one consent, to open their shut-up hearts freely, and to think of people below them as if they were really fellow passengers of the grave, and not just another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I do believe that it has done me good, and will do me good. And I say God bless it. God bless Christmas! Hurrah! Let me hear another sound out of you there, Bob Cratchit. You keep your Christmas by losing your situation. Yes, sir.
As to you, nephew, I wonder why you don't go into Parliament. You talk enough nonsense. Oh, don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us tomorrow. Hmm?
Will you come and see us?
Oh, I'll come and see you, all right. I'll see you in hell. But why? Why?
Why did you get married?
Why did I get... Because
I fell in love.
Because you fell in love. Good afternoon.
Uncle, you've never come to see me before that happened. Why give it as a reason for not coming now?
Good afternoon. I want nothing from you, Uncle, and I ask nothing of you. Why can't we be friends?
Good afternoon.
I am sorry, with all my heart, to find you so resolute. We have never had any quarrel to which I have been a party, but I have made the trial in homage to Christmas, and so I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So, I say, Merry Christmas, Uncle! Good afternoon.
Scrooge's nephew, Fred, is in his counting room with Scrooge, trying to convince him to come over for Christmas dinner.
Good afternoon, nephew.
And a happy new year, Uncle.
Good afternoon.
Bah, humbug. Well, hello, Bob. And how is Mrs. Cratchit and all the small assorted Cratchits?
Very good, sir.
All champing at the bit, huh? Waiting for Christmas to begin, eh?
Oh, yes, sir. All very eager.
And the little lame boy? Which one was he? Tim?
Yes, Tim, sir.
Ah, that's right. And how is he?
Well, we're in very high hopes that he's getting better, sir.
Ah, well, good for you, Bob. And a Merry Christmas to you.
Same to you, sir, I'm sure.
Why, thank you.
Nonsense. Twaddle. Flummery talking of Christmas and not 2 sixpence to jangle together at his trousers pocket. Hey, you, Bob Cratchit! Come here!
And what are you doing there?
I'm only putting a little bit more coal on the fire, sir. Seeing it's so cold in here, Mr. Scrooge.
You put that coal back into that scuttle. A fire indeed!
I can tell you, if you use coal at that rate, you and I will soon be parting company, Bob Cratchit. You understand that? There's many a young fellow that would take your situation, you know.
I'm sorry, sir. It's just that my fingers were getting a little stiff with all the cold.
Well, then put on your mittens.
There's someone at the door. See who it is.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Is this the firm of Scrooge and Marley?
Yes, it is, sir.
Now, we should like to see the head of the firm, if we may.
Oh, yes, very good, sir.
What is it, Cratchit?
Two gentlemen to see you, Mr. Scrooge.
Huh? Have we the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley?
Marley's been dead these 7 years tonight.
I'm Scrooge.
Well now, Mr. Scrooge, at this season of the year, it's only fitting that we who are more fortunate should raise a hand to a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. You may not believe it, sir, but many thousands are now in want of common necessities.
No,
and hundreds more, thousands more, are in want of the simplest of comforts.
Are there no prisons?
Well, yes, sir, there are plenty of prisons, sir.
And workhouses?
They are still in operation, I trust?
I wish I could say they are not, sir, but yes, they are.
The treadmill and the poor law, they are in full vigor.
Yes, sir. Very busy, sir.
Ah, well, I'm glad to hear that. I was afraid, from what you were saying at first, that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course.
But no, sir, all these institutions that you mention are flourishing, but it's nonetheless true that some additional provisionings for the poor and the destitute must be made.
Bah!
A few of us upon change are endeavoring to raise such a fund, you see. And, well,
what should we put you down for?
Nothing.
Oh, I see. You wish to remain anonymous.
I wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas time, and I can't afford to help make a lot of idle people merry either. I help to support the establishments and take care of the poor. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there. But many can't go there, sir, and many would rather die. Well, then, my advice to them is to do so and decrease the surplus population. Besides, I only have your word for it that this is all so. Oh, it is so, sir. It is the truth. Well, so be it, then. Well, it's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, gentlemen. We quite understand, Mr. Scrooge. Good afternoon. Cratchit! Show these gentlemen out. Yes, sir. This way, sir. Sir, I couldn't help but overhearing. I should like to make a small tuppence. Cratchit! Yes, sir. It isn't much, but it's all I can afford, and there are others in a worse situation than I. You are a generous fellow. I wish I might say the same for your employer. Cratchit! Yes, sir. Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon. Cratchit! Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Yes, sir. Close that door! Yes, sir. 24, 31, one carry the three, a new scarlet tipper for Tiny Tim, a comb for Martha, 33, 3 and carry the three, a hair ribbon for Belinda, 4, 7, 12, 15, Cratchit! 50, yes, sir. It's too late to have you go to Farfigil's. He'll be closed now for Christmas like all those other fools. We may as well close up now. Yes, sir, I mean, it is getting a little dark, and it's hard to see the figures. I suppose you want the entire day tomorrow. If it's quite convenient, sir. It's not quite convenient. It's not fair either. But I suppose I can't do anything about it. If I was to stop half a crown of your wages, you'd think yourself ill-used, I'd be bound. Well, sir, I... But you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day wages for no work. It is once a year, sir. Once a year. Once a year, indeed. A fine excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose there's no good talking. You must have the whole day. Well, see that you're here all the earlier the next morning. You understand? Oh, yes. I will, sir. I will, indeed. And Merry Christmas. Bah! I suppose you must have the whole day. Well, see that you're here all the earlier the next morning. You understand? Oh, I will, sir. I will. I will indeed. And good night, sir. And Merry Christmas. Bah! Merry Christmas. It's a humbug. The office was closed, and in a twinkling, and Bob Cratchit, with his long ends of his white comforter dangling below his waist, for he boasted no gray coat, went down a slide on Cornhill 20 times in honor of it being Christmas Eve, and then he ran down home to Camden Town, as hot as he could pelt, to play with his family at Blind Man's Bluff. Scrooge, on the other hand, took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern, and having read all the newspapers and spent the rest of the evening with his banker's book, went to his dismal house. Darkness is cheap, and Scrooge liked it. The yard was so dark that even Scrooge, who knew its every stone, had to grope with his hands through the fog and frost just to find the door. As he approached the door, he looked at its door knocker and recognized a face. He couldn't put a name to the face, but suddenly the face disappeared. Scrooge looked at the door knocker and shrugged. Ah, humbug. Scrooge then walked to his rooms to see all that was right. The sitting room, the bedroom, the lumber room, all as they should be. Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa, nobody under the bed, nobody in the closet. He He closed the door, and he took off his scarf and his cravat, and he went and put on his dressing slippers and his nightcap, and he sat down before the fire to take his gruel.
Merry Christmas, humbug. It's all humbug. What I need is a good night's sleep.
What in blazes is it? Someone's in this place. The door is locked. It's double locked. It's coming. Something is coming closer. Bah! I wouldn't believe it. It's humbug still.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
How now? What do you want with me? Much. Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Who are you, then?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Humbug. You don't believe in me.
I don't.
What evidence would you have of my reality beyond that of your senses?
I don't know.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Well, because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. You might be an undigested bit of beef, or a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of undone potato. Why, there's more gravy than grave about you, whatever you are.
Mercy! Dreadful apparition! Why do you trouble me? Oh, man of the worldly mind, do you believe in me or not?
Oh, I do, I must. But why do spirits walk the earth, and why do they come to me? It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men, and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world, oh, woe is me, and to witness what it cannot share, but might have shared, on earth, and turned into happiness. No!
Jacob, you are fettered. Tell me why.
I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on of my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Or would you know the weight and the length of the strong cable that you bear yourself? It was as full and as heavy and as long as this. 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since.
Oh, it is a ponderous chain!
Jacob! Oh, Jacob Marley, tell me more! But speak comfort to me, Jacob! I have none to give. It comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge, and is conveyed by other men, to other kinds of men. Nor can I tell you what I would. A very little more is all permitted to me. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger anywhere. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house. Mark me! In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hole. And weary journeys lie before me. Oh, but you must have been very slow about it, Jacob.
Slow?
7 years dead and traveling all the time?
The whole time. No rest, no peace, incessant torture of remorse.
You travel fast? On the wings of the wind. But you might have got a little great quantity or ground in 7 years.
No!
captive, bound and double-ironed, not to know that ages of incessant labor by immortal creatures for this earth must pass into eternity before the good of which it is susceptible is all developed. Not to know that any Christian spirit, working kindly in its little sphere, whatever it may be, will find its mortal life too short for the vast means of usefulness. Not to know that no space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunities misused. And yet such was I. Oh, such was I.
But, Jacob, you were always a good man of business.
Business! Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. No! It is at this time of the year that I suffer most. Why did I walk through crowds of my fellow beings with my eyes turned down and never raise them to that blessed star which led the wise men to a poor abode? Were there no poor homes to which its light could have conducted me? Marley, hear me, for my time is nearly gone. I will, but don't be hard on me, Jacob. Don't be flowery, Jacob. How is it that I peer before you in the shape that you can see? I may not tell. I have sat invisible beside you many and many a day, and that is no light part of my penance. But I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and a hope of escaping my fate, a chance and a hope of my procuring Ebenezer. You will be haunted by three ghosts. Is that the chance and hope that you mentioned to me, Jacob? It is. Then I think I'd rather not. Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path that I tread. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one. Couldn't I take them all at once, Jacob, and have it over with all at the same time? Expect the second on the next night at the same hour. The third upon the next night when the last stroke of three has ceased to vibrate. Look to see me no more, and look that, for your own sake, that you remember what has passed between us. The apparition moved backwards, and at every step it took, the window raised itself a little, so that when the specter reached it, it was wide open. It beckoned Scrooge to approach, which he did. When they were within 2 paces of each other, Marley's ghost held up his hand, warning him to come no nearer. Scrooge stopped. Not so much in obedience, but as in surprise and fear, for on the raising of his hand, he became sensible of confused noises in the air, incoherent sounds of lamentation and regret, wailings inexpressibly sorrow and self-accusatory. The specter, after listening for a moment, joined in the mournful dirge and floated out upon the bleak, dark night. Whether these creatures faded into the mist, or the mist enshrouded them, he could not tell. But they and their spirit voices faded together. And the night became as it had been when he walked home. Scrooge closed the window and examined the door by which the ghost had entered. It was double locked, as he had locked it, with his own hands, and the bolts were undisturbed. He tried to say humbug, but he stopped at the first syllable, and being from the emotion that he had undergone, or the fatigues of the day, for his glimpse of the invisible world, or for the dull conversation of the ghost, or for the lateness of the hour, much in need of repose, Scrooge went
straight to bed, and fell asleep upon the instant. We continue now with Elton Jim's A Christmas Carol here at 720 WGN AM. Stave 2, the first of the spirits. Scrooge awoke. He was lying on his bed, fully dressed. Suddenly, the curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor, who drew them as close to it as I am to you now, and was standing in the spirit, elbow to elbow. It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old person. Its hair had, which hung about his neck and down its back, was white as if it was with age, and yet the face had not a wrinkle on it, and the tenderest bloom was on its skin. But the strangest thing about this spirit was that the crown of its head, there was a bright, clear jet of light by which all of this was visible, and which was doubtless the occasion of its using, in its duller moments, a great extinguisher for a cap which it now held under its arm. Even this, though, when Scrooge looked at it with an increasing steadiness, found it of the strangest quality, for its belt had sparkled and glittered, and now in one part and now in another, and what was light one instance at another time was dark, and so the figure itself fluctuated in its distinctiveness, and in the very wonder of this, as it would be itself, distinct and as clever as ever. Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who is that?
Ebenezer Scrooge, I have come for you.
Are you the spirit whose coming was foretold to me?
I am that spirit.
What are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
A long past?
No, your past.
What do you want of me? I mean, what brings you here to haunt me?
Your welfare, Ebenezer. Rise and walk with me.
No. I mean, not out the window. I can't do that. I mean, I'll fall down. I'm not a spirit. I'm mortal. I'll fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this. Come, follow me.
Where are we? What's become of this city? Well, there's snow on the ground. Where are we?
These are the shadows of the things that have been. You recognize this countryside?
Oh, I know every inch of it. Every rock, every tree.
And that bleak building over there?
Oh, that building. Yes, I was a boy there. Yes, I went to school in that horrible place.
Do you recollect that path?
Yes, I could walk it blindfolded.
Strange, you should forget it so many years. Come, let us go closer. Look through the window into that cold, barren room. What do you see, Ebenezer Scrooge?
I see a boy.
A solitary child, neglected by his family, alone.
Yes, I see. I know that boy. Oh, I was so lonely there. Poor boy.
Your lip is trembling, Scrooge. What is that on your cheek?
It's nothing. I wish it... Oh, but it's too late now.
What's the matter?
Nothing. It's just... The waifs came to my door singing Christmas carols last night, and well, there was a boy like that among them. Poor, pale, thin little boy in a ragged coat. I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Is that all, Ebenezer? Come, let us see another Christmas.
I see my old school again, but a few years later...
The spirit, who is that young girl skipping around me?
Oh,
Ebenezer! Oh, Fan, how I've missed you! Oh, dear brother, I've come to bring you home, dear brother. Home again, jiggity-jig! Home, little Fan? Yes, home, for good and all. Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be. Our home's like heaven now. For you, perhaps, but not for me. He doesn't even know me or what I even look like. Same as I hardly know you. Oh, but he spoke so gently to me, one dear night, when I was going to bed, that I was not afraid to ask him that once more if you might come home. And he said yes, you could. And he sent a coach for me to bring you. And you're to be a man. And you are never to come back here. But first, we'll be together all Christmas long, and we'll have the merriest of time in the world! Oh, bless you, Fan! Bless you, my dear Fan!
Always a delicate creature, whom a breath might have withered, but she had a large heart. Yes, yes, she had. She died a woman, and had, I think, children.
Every one child.
True. Your nephew, Fred, correct?
Yes. Yes, Spirit, my nephew.
He visited you early today, did he not?
Yes, he did. What of it?
Come, Ebenezer. We have yet another Christmas to see. Do you know this place, Ebenezer Scrooge?
Know it! Know it! Why, this is the old counting house where I apprenticed! Listen! Why, it's my old master, bless his heart! Old Fezziwig! Oh, my master, alive again and host of one of the great Christmas parties! Listen! Listen! And listen to him! Ho there! Ho there, Ebenezer! Dick! Where's Dick Wilkins? Oh, poor Dick. Dear, dear.
Oh, look, there's Mr. Fezziwig. Mrs. Fezziwig herself, looking younger than any of them. And the tables are loaded with roast and cider and mince pie and beer. Oh, what a jolly time we used to have. That carefree young man with the light heart and a gay smile. Do you recognize him?
Oh, yes, yes. Merciful heaven. How happy I was then. Yo-ho, boys! No more work tonight. Christmas Eve. Dick, Christmas. Ebenezer, Christmas. Now, let's have those shutters up. Before a man can say Jack Robinson. And let us make merry. A proper jig, my dears. A proper jig.
A small matter for old Fezziwig to make those silly folks so full of joy.
A small matter, small indeed.
Isn't it? He only spent a few pounds of your mortal money. Is that so much that he deserves such praise?
Bah, it's not that. It's not that, Spirit. Old Fezziwig has the power to make us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or heavy. His power lies in words and looks, in the things so tiny that's impossible to count them up. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it cost a...
What's the matter, Ebenezer?
No. Nothing, nothing. Nothing at all, Spirit. Nothing at all.
Something, I think.
No, no.
Speak.
Well, it's only just that... Well, I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk. Bob Cratchit, that's all. Swing your partner, address the entire bow and curtsy, thread the needle. Oh dear, a bit mulled wine, and I'll be worse for wear tomorrow.
My time grows short, Ebenezer. We have yet another journey to make.
Where now?
Come.
This is our last visit to the past, Ebenezer. Here in this little room, with a fair young girl by your side. Do you recognize yourself, Ebenezer? Oh, no. No. Please, spare me this. You're older now. A man in your prime of life. Your face has begun to weather signs of care and avarice. Your eyes are greedy. The eager, restless eyes of a miser.
No, please, Spirit.
She knows it too, that girl by your side. There are tears in her eyes. It matters little, Ebenezer, to you. Very little, I know that. Belle, have I changed toward you? When we were engaged, we were both poor. Was it better then? Better to be poor? Better at least to be happy. You've changed. You're another man now.
I was a boy then.
You blame me because I've grown wiser? Have I ever tried to break our engagement? In words, no. Never.
Then in what, then?
In a changed nature. In an altered spirit. In everything that made my love of any value in your sight. So, I now release you from your promise.
Belle!
Oh, at first it may cause you pain to lose me, but a very brief pain, and it will soon dim, like a half-remembered dream, an unprofitable dream. And you will be glad to be awake from such a dream. You may be happy in your life, this life you've chosen, Ebenezer, for the love of him that you once were.
Oh, it's enough. Show me no more. Take me home.
These are shadows of things that have been. That they are what they are. Do not blame me.
No more. No more, Spirit.
One shadow more. Come. Do you see this man, Ebenezer Scrooge? This man may have been you. And the young woman beside him, your wife. And that girl might have been your daughter, Ebenezer Scrooge. She might have called you father. She might have been a springtime in the haggard winter of your life.
Spirit, let me go. Show me no more.
Listen now while they speak, Ebenezer. Belle, I saw an old friend of yours today. Oh, who was it? Guess. How can I? It's... Oh, I know. Mr. Scrooge. Yes, it was Mr. Scrooge. And I passed his office window, and it wasn't shuttered. There was a candle inside, so I couldn't help but seeing him. And his partner, Marley, lies dead at the point of death, I hear. And there Scrooge sat, all alone. Quite alone in the world, I do believe.
Oh, Spirit, I can't bear no more. Haunt me no more. Take me back.
Stave 3, the second of the three spirits. From the stroke of one, Scrooge awoken suddenly and sat in bolt upright in his own bed. He remembered the words of Marley's ghost and wondered from which direction the second spectre would appear. At that moment, nothing between a baby and a rhinoceros would have astonished him very much. Now, being prepared for almost anything, he was not by any means prepared for nothing. Consequently, when no shape appeared, he was taken with a violent bit of trembling. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a quarter of an hour went by, and yet nothing came. But then, as he sat, he became aware gradually of a great blaze of ruddy light. It seemed to shine above him from the adjoining room.
He got up softly and shuffled in his slippers to the door. It was his own sitting room. No doubt about that. But it had gone an surprising transformation. The walls and the ceiling were so hung with living green that it looked like a perfect grove, from every part of which bright gleaming berries glistened, and such a mighty blaze went roaring up the chimney as he had never known it. In Scrooge's time, or in any time, with the winter seasons gone, heaped upon the floor to form a kind of throne where were turkeys and geese and game and poultries and great joints of meat and suckling pigs, long wreaths of sausages, mince pies, plum puddings, barrels of oysters, red-hot chestnuts, and seething bowls of punch. It made the chamber dim in their delicious steam. In easy state upon the couch, there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see, who bore a glowing torch in the shape not unlike Plenty's horn. And he held it up high, high up, to shed its light on Scrooge as he came peeking around the door. come in, Ebenezer Scrooge. Come in and know me better, man. You, I am the ghost of Christmas present. Look upon me. You've never seen the likes of me before. You're different from the other spirits. You're tall. You're almost a giant. And that great torch you carry, its light falls into the homes of rich and poor alike. Oh, but spirit, take me where you will. The last time I went against my will, and I learned a lesson which is working now. If you have anything to teach me or profit me, so be it. Touch my robe, Ebenezer Scrooge. Touch my robe. Touch my robe, Ebenezer Scrooge. Touch my robe. Ah, your nephew Fred's home is nicely appointed, by the looks of it. He looks to be a fine young man, Ebenezer. Ah, group of revelers. Let's listen in, shall we? And he said that Christmas was a humbug, as I live, and he believed it, too. Oh, more shame for him, Fred. I should think very much like to meet your Uncle Fred. The droll way of which you portray him makes me curious. Well, he's a comical old fellow. That's the truth. And not so pleasant as he might be. However, his offenses carry their own punishment, and I have nothing to say against him. Well, I'm sure he is very rich, Fred. At least, you always tell me so. Well, what of that, my dear? His wealth is of no use to him. I mean, he doesn't buy anything good with it. He doesn't make himself comfortable with it. He hasn't the satisfaction of thinking that he is ever going to benefit us with it. Well, I have no patience for him, Fred. Nor I. Oh, have I? I have. I am sorry for him. I couldn't be angry with him if I tried. Who suffers by his ill whims? Himself, always. Here, he takes it into his head to dislike us, and he won't come and dine with us. What's the consequence? He gets to lose a great dinner. Indeed, I think he loses a very good dinner. Really, Fred, I think you're being awfully charitable. Well, if that's so, it may be because, well, my mother, God rest her saintly soul, she was so very fond of him. She loved him. The spirit glances at Scrooge, who tries to appear unmoved. Well, do go on, Fred. He never finishes what he begins to say. He's such a ridiculous fellow. Now, enough of this. Now, Danny, would you like to be so kind as to play your fiddle? A little music will certainly enliven the evening. Oh, spirit, how long since it's been since I've enjoyed a good fiddler with a fine punch. Well, music certainly soothes the savage beast, doesn't it, Mr. Scrooge? Now then, ladies and gentlemen, if you call Fred a gentleman... Oh, now, Topper. It's a game called Yes and No.
Fred. And you're the host, so you'll go first. I've been warned not to trust you in your games, Topper. I think that we should at least stay until the guests have departed, don't you, Spirit? Oh, dear. What do I have to do, Topper?
I'm afraid that cannot be done, Ebenezer.
But here is a new game. Only a half hour, Spirit. Only one?
Okay, Fred. You think of something, anything, and the rest of us must find out what it is. But you may only answer our questions with a yes or a no.
All right?
Well, okay, all right, I've got one. You thought of something? Yes, yes, now fire away.
Is it animal, vegetable, or mineral?
No, 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 it has to be a question that he can answer yes or no to. Now, Fred, are you thinking of an animal?
Yes.
Is it living or dead?
It is. Is it living?
Yes, it is.
A wild animal?
Well, can it be found in London?
Well, yes, I'm afraid so.
Does it live in a menagerie?
No, I wouldn't go. He wouldn't go near it.
Is it a horse?
No, no.
Is it an ass?
No.
Is it a cow?
They can't hear you, Scrooge.
Oh, shut up. I'm having fun trying to guess.
Does it walk the streets?
Yes, it does.
Is it some kind of rat?
No, maybe a pack rat.
Wait, is it a man?
Well,
I've got it. I know what it is, Fred. I know what it is.
What is it? What is it?
It's your Uncle Scrooge!
Yes, 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 it is!
Oh, that's not fair. When I asked you if it was an ass, you should have answered yes.
Well, he has given us plenty of merriment, I am sure, and it would be ungrateful for us not to drink to his health. So I say to Uncle Scrooge, a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to the old man, wherever he may be. He wouldn't take it from me, but he may have it nonetheless, to Uncle Scrooge.
Enough of this party. I'll have no more, Spirit. I wish to leave.
We have yet another place to visit, Ebenezer.
If you brought me, Spirit.
Humble dwelling on a humble street, Mr. Scrooge.
Ooh, it's miserable enough.
Yet, there is happiness there.
Who are these people, and who's that woman and the children?
These are the family of your clerk, Bob Cratchit.
Oh.
See his wife, dressed in a twice-turned gown, but brave in ribbons, lay the table for their Christmas dinner, and there, assisting her, is their daughter Belinda, and the young man with the fork in the stuffing, that's Master Peter Cratchit, and the two little Cratchits.
Listen, Scrooge.
And then we continue. With now, Scrooge and Christmas Present at the Cratchits.
Here's Martha, Mother.
Here's Martha, Mother.
Hurrah! Children, children!
Why, bless your heart, Martha, my dear. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas, Mother. Merry Christmas. How late you are, my dear. Oh, we would have a great deal of work to finish up last night, and we had to clear away this morning.
Well, nothing more so long as you are here now.
So sit down before the fire, my dear, and have a warm. Lord bless you. Where's Father?
He's been to church with Tiny Tim.
They'll be along directly. How is Tiny Tim, Mother? Any better now?
Well, sometimes I think he is, and sometimes I think, oh, dear God, if anything should happen to Tiny Tim.
Oh, Mother, you mustn't even think of such a thing.
Here they come, Mother. Father and Tiny Tim.
Here they come. Here they are. There's Tiny Tim.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Martha, welcome, my dear. Merry Christmas, Father, and Tim. Merry Christmas, Martha. Oh, Tim, you're darling.
Oh, let me take your coat, Tim.
Oh, Father, I'm so glad to be home.
And we're glad to have you, Martha.
And how did little Tim behave in church, Bob? Oh, as good as gold, and better.
Oh,
I like church, Mother. Oh, they sing the nicest songs. I hope people saw me there.
Saw you there? But why, Tim?
Well, don't you see? Because I'm lame. And if they saw my crutch, it might be pleasant to them to remember upon Christmas Day who it was who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
God bless you, my son.
Are we ready to eat, Mother?
Oh, come on, Mother. Let's eat. Yes, 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 eat. Yes, children, we're all ready. Now, come and take your places now and wait your turn. There's plenty of stuffing and dressing and plum pudding for all of you. Martha, now, take care of Tiny Tim.
Yes, Mother.
And see that he eats plenty. He must get strong and well. Now, sit down, everyone. And, my dears, shall we say grace?
Spirit, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Tell me, Scrooge. Tell me. Tell me, Spirit. Will Tiny Tim live?
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved.
No, 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 Spirit, no, kind Spirit. He will be spared. Say he will live!
And welcome back. Jim Toronto filling in for Nick DiGiulio here this morning. Been going on since 2 o'clock. We'll be here for another 40 minutes or so. We are in the midst of recreating A Christmas Carol, an Elton Jim Christmas Carol, if you will. I'm having a ball performing and reading this story to you all, and hopefully you are enjoying it as much as I am. So we'll continue now with the story as Scrooge and the Ghost of Christmas Present are in watching the Cratchits and their Christmas dinner.
Tell me if Tiny Tim will live.
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved.
Oh, no, 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 kind Spirit. Say he will be spared. Say he will live.
If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, Ebenezer, the child will die.
Amen. Amen. And now, my dears, with such a dinner, I have a toast. A Merry Christmas to us all, and God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
And now to Mr. Scrooge. I give a toast to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of our feast.
The founder of our feast, indeed.
Who pays you all the 15 shillings a week?
I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast on, and I'd hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children, it's Christmas Day.
It should be Christmas Day, I am sure, on which one drinks the health of such an odious, stingy, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge.
You know he is, Bob. Nobody knows it better than you, you poor fellow.
My dear, it's Christmas Day.
I'll drink to his health, for your sake and for the day's, but not for his.
Long life to him. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He'll be very merry and very happy, I have no doubt.
And I say, bless him too, Mother. And everyone.
There was nothing of high mark in this. They were not a handsome family, these Cratchits. They were not well dressed. Their shoes were far from being waterproof, and their clothes were scanty, and had known, very likely, the inside of a pawnbroker's. But they were happy, grateful and pleased with one another, and contented with the time. And when at last they faded, Scrooge had his eye upon them, and especially on Tiny Tim, until the last.
It was a long night.
It was only one night. And it was a strange one, too, that while Scrooge remained unaltered in his outward form, the ghost knew older and grew older, clearly older.
My life upon this globe, Ebenezer, is very brief. It ends tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight at midnight. Hark, the hour has come.
Forgive me if I am not justified in what I ask, but I see something strange and not belonging to yourself protruding from your skirts. Is it a foot or a claw?
It might be a claw for the flesh there is upon it. Look here.
From the folding of its robes, two children appeared, wretched, abject, frightful, hideous and miserable. They knelt down at the feet of the ghost and clung upon the outside of his garment.
Oh, man, look here, look here, look down here.
They were a boy and a girl, yellow, meager, ragged, scowling, wolfish, but prostrate, too, in their humility. Where graceful youth should have filled their features out and touched them with its freshest tints, the stale and shriveled hand, like that of age, had pinched and twisted them and pulled them into shreds. Where angels might have sat enthroned, devils lurked and glared out menacing. No change, no degradation, no perversion of humanity in any grade. Through all these mysteries of wonderful creation, had monsters so horrible and so dreadful. Spirit, are they yours?
They are man's, and they cling to me, appealing from their fathers. This boy is ignorance. This girl is want. Beware them both, and all of their degree. But most of all, beware this boy, for on his brow I see that written is doom, unless the writing can be erased. Deny it, slander those who tell ye, admit it for your factious purposes, and make it worse, and abide the end.
Have they no refuge or resource, spirit?
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
Oh, no, 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 not yet. Not yet. There are still more things I wish to learn.
These you will learn from another spirit. Another spirit, Ebenezer.
A solemn phantom. Shrouded in black, draped and hooded, coming towards him, slowly and silently, like a mist, along the ground.
Oh, oh, I know you. You are the ghost of the spirits of yet to come. You'll show me shadows of the things that have not happened, but will happen in the time before us. Answer me, spirit, ghost of the future. I fear you more than any specter I have ever seen, yet I know your purpose is to do me good, as I hope to live, to be another man from what I was. Now, will you speak to me? Lead me on, lead me on. The night's waiting, and the time is precious.
Stave 4, the last of the spirits. Scrooge looked upon him for the ghost that had vanished, and found himself once again in his bed, in his dressing gown and in his cap, and he screamed for the ghost of Christmas future. He heard the clock strike, and then he remembered what old Molly had said. And he went with the third spirit.
Where are you taking me now, spirit? Here, on a common street, in a low-browed, beetling shop? What is there for me to learn here? Who are these people?
What odds, then? What odds, Mrs. Dilber? Every person has a right to take care of themselves. He always did. That's true. Indeed. No man more so. Why then, don't stand there starting as if you was afraid, woman. Who's the wiser? We're not going to pick holes in each other's coats, I suppose. No, indeed. Well, then, that's enough. Now, who's the worst for loss of a few things like these? Not a dead man, I suppose. No, indeed.
If he wanted to keep him after he was dead, the wicked screw, why wasn't he natural in his lifetime? If he had been, he had been someone to look after him when he was struck with death, instead of lying there, grasping out his last, what, by himself. It's the truest word you ever spoke. It's a judgment on him. I wish he was a little heavier in judgment. It should have been. You may depend upon it if I could have laid my hands on anything else he had laying around. Well, open that bundle, old Joe, and let me know what the value may be, then.
All right, then. Let's see what we got here.
Speak out plain. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid to be the first, nor afraid to you for you to see it. Now, we know pretty well what we were helping ourselves to before we met here, I believe. It's no sin. Now, open the bundle, Joe. This is disgusting, Spirit. I cannot look at this. Haven't you anything better to show me, Spirit?
All right, now let's see. Now, we got a pair of worn shoes, a tin cup, a tattered dressing gown,
I always give a little too much to the ladies. It's a weakness of mine, you know. That's the way I ruin myself. Now, I'll give you a 3 and 6 for all this. And if he asked me for another penny and made it an open question, I'd repent in being so liberal and knock off half a crown. Well, now undo my bundle, Joe.
What have you got here? Bed curtains?
Ah, bed curtains. You don't mean to say that you took 'em down, rings and all, with him lying there dead? Yes, I do. And why not?
Rings and all, Spirit. Rings and all? You were born to make a fortune. You'll certainly do it.
Now, I certainly shouldn't hold his hand when I can get anything in it by reaching it out for sake of such a man he was. And I promise you, Joe, don't drop that oil upon the blankets now.
His blankets?
What else do you think? He isn't likely to take cold without him now, I dare say.
I hope he didn't die of anything catching.
Don't be afraid of that, Joe. It ain't so fond of his company that I'd loiter about for such things. If he did, you may look through that old shirt till your eyes ache, but you won't find a hole in it, or not a threadbare place. It's the best he had, and a fine one at that, too. They'd have been wasted if he'd just been sitting there.
What do you call wasting it?
Putting it on him to be buried in, to be sure. Somebody was fool enough to do it, but I took it off again. If calico ain't good enough for such a purpose, it isn't good enough for anything. It's quite as becoming to his body. He can't look any uglier than he did in that one.
Oh, Spirit, tell me, who is this man that died? Is there no one to mourn this poor creature? No one to follow him to the grave? Let me see some tenderness connected with a death, or that dark chamber spirit which we just left now will be forever present to me. Spirit, you have brought me here again? To Bob Cratchit's home? But it's not the same. Why is it so quiet here? So very quiet.
No, my poor son, my little son, Tiny Tim, I loved him so. Oh, Mother dear, you mustn't. It's almost time for Father to be home. Don't let him see you crying.
Yes, yes, Martha. He's late tonight. He walks slower than he used to, and yet I've known him to walk very fast.
Indeed, with Tiny Tim on his shoulder. So have I, Mother.
Oh, but he was so light to carry. His father loved him so that it was no trouble. It was no trouble at all.
Bob.
Good evening, dear.
You're late, Bob?
Yes, I'm sorry, my dear. I went to the churchyard today. I wish you could have gone with me. It would have done your heart good to see how sweet and green of a place it is. But you'll see it often, and I promised him. Yes, I promised Tiny Tim that we'd walk there together on a Sunday. Father, dear, it's God's will, Bob. I'm trying to understand it, my dear. My son, my little son, Tiny Tim. I loved him so much.
Oh, that's cruel. That's cruel, Spirit. Can't you give me one ray of hope that I might change all that? That Tiny Tim may live? Where are we now? Merciful heaven, a churchyard run by grass and weeds and choked up that with too much burying and desolate and lonely as a crumbling gravestone. Spirit, before I draw nearer to that gravestone, answer me one question. Are these shadows of things that will be? Or are they shadows of things that can only be? Will you speak to me, Spirit? What is that grave to which you point? Oh! There's a writing on that stone. The name on the gravestone is... Ebenezer Scrooge! Ebenezer Scrooge! Oh, no! Oh, no, Spirit! No, no, no! Hear me! I am not the man I was! Why show me this if I am past all hope? Tell me that I could change, that these dreadful shadows that you have shown me by an altered life. I will honor Christmas in my heart. I will try to keep it all the year. I'll live in the past and the present and the future. And I'll not shout out the lessons that they teach. Teach me, Spirit. Oh, go on. Tell me. Tell me I can sponge away the writing on this stone, Spirit. I beg you. I beg you.
Stave 5. The end of it. Spirit, I promise. I promise on my knees. I promise. Oh, what's this? It's my own bedpost. Oh, I'm home. In my own bed. In my own room. Oh. And the sun. The sun is shining. It's clear. And it's bright. There's no clouds. Oh, my dear. What a beautiful day! Oh, glorious! Glorious! Oh, hey! Hey, boy! Boy there! Yes, sir? Well, what's today? What's that, sir? What day is it? What day is it, my fine fellow? Today? Why, it's Christmas Day! Oh! It's Christmas Day! Christmas Day! Then I haven't missed it! The spirits have done it all in one night. All in one night, heaven be praised. How's that, sir? Listen, my lad. Do you know where the poulterer is? On the next street? Well, I should say so, sir. Oh, an intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Now tell me, do you know if they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging in the window? The one that's as big as me, sir. The one that's as big as you. Delightful, delightful. Oh, it's a pleasure talking to you. Yes, yes, my buck. It's hanging there now, sir. Oh, that's wonderful. Now, go around, will you? And tell them to send it to Bob Cratchit and his family on Broad Street. And mind you, they're not to say who paid for it. Now go along. Hurry, 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 my lad. Wait here for a minute. And here's a half a crown for your trouble. What day is it, my fine fellow? Today? It's Christmas Day. It's Christmas Day. I haven't missed it. The spirits have all done it in one night. All in one night. Heaven be praised. How's that, sir? Listen, my lad. Do you know where the poulterer is? On the next street? I should say I do. it's an intelligent boy. A very remarkable boy. Now tell me. Do you know if they've sold the prize turkey that was hanging in the window there?
The one that's as big as me?
The one that's as big as me? Oh, yes. A delightful boy. Yes, it's a pleasure to talk to you, my young buck.
It's hanging there now, sir.
Oh, that's wonderful. Go around, will you? And tell them that they should send it to Bob Cratchit and his family on Broad Street. And mind you, they're not to say who paid for it. Now go along. Hurry, hurry, my lad. Here, wait a minute. Here's half a crown for your trouble.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas to you, my boy. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. Merry Christmas. A Merry Christmas to everybody. And a Happy New Year to all the world. My dear sirs, how do you do?
I beg your pardon, sir?
Aren't you the gentleman who came by my office in regard to that charity?
Why, yes, sir.
Well, a Merry Christmas to you!
Was it? Yes, sir.
Allow me to ask your pardon, sir. Will you have the goodness to accept... I prefer to whisper this. I'd like to give you a top one, but this one... Why,
bless you, sir. Lord, bless you, my dear Mr. Scrooge. Are you serious? If you please. And now, not a farthing less. A great many back payments are included in it, I assure you. Now, will you do me a favor? My dear sir, I do not know what to say about such munificence. Oh, you don't say anything. Don't say anything. Just come and see me later. Will you? Will you come and see me?
We will indeed, sir. Thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. I am much obliged to you. I thank you 50 times. Bless you and Merry Christmas. And now I believe I've come upon my nephew's home.
Is your husband at home, my dear? You are my nephew's betrothed, are you not?
Yes, Uncle Scrooge.
Where is he, my love?
He's in the sitting room with our friends. I'll show you in, if you please.
Oh, thank you, my dear, sweet girl.
And he said that Christmas was a humbug, as I live. And he believed it, too.
Fred?
What? Bless my soul. Who's that?
It is I, your Uncle Scrooge.
It's your Uncle Scrooge!
I have come as you've asked. Will you let me in, Fred?
Let you in? Why, yes, Uncle! Bless you and Merry Christmas, Uncle! And may I officially introduce you to my wife, Bess.
My dear... Oh, you are a sight for these old, tired eyes. You undoubtedly make my nephew very happy, and for that, my dear, you are blessed in my heart.
Oh, Uncle Scrooge. Dear, dear Uncle Scrooge.
The next morning, Scrooge was early at his office. He went early for a reason. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming in late, that was the thing he had set his heart upon. And he did. Yes, he did. The clock struck 9. No Bob. 9:15. No Bob. Scrooge sat with his door wide open that he might see him come in. At last he came in. His hat was just off, and before he opened the door, he had his comforter on, too. But he was on his stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pen as if trying to overtake the 9 o'clock hour. Cratchit?
Yes, sir. 8:15, 21, 6 and carry the 1, 24 carry the 2, and 3 and 38, and 8 is 9.
Hello, you Cratchit.
Yes, sir. Cratchit! What do you mean by coming in at this time of day?
I am very sorry, sir, but I am behind my time.
Yes, you are. Yes, yes, I think you are.
Oh, but it's only once a year, sir. It shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry yesterday, sir.
Now, I'll tell you, my friend, I'll not stand for this kind of thing any longer. And therefore, Bob Cratchit, I am about to... raise your salary.
Mr. Scrooge, are you quite yourself, sir?
No. No. Thank heaven. I'm not quite myself. Merry Christmas, Bob. Merry Christmas, my good fellow, and a merrier Christmas than I have ever given you in many a year. I shall raise your salary, and we shall see what we can do for Tiny Tim and the rest of your family, huh? Now, we'll discuss it this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop. And Bob, about that fire, make it up, and buy another coal scuttle before you dot another I, Bob Cratchit.
Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all and infinitely more. And to Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father. He became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city knew, or any other old city, town or borough, in the good old world. Some people laughed to see the alteration in him, but he had let them laugh, and little heeded them. His own heart laughed. That was quite enough for him. He had no further intercourse with those spirits, but he lived upon the total abstinence principle ever afterwards, and it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. If any man possessed the knowledge, he did. And may that be truly said of all of us, for all of us. And as Tiny Tim observed,
God bless us, everyone.
And so there it was, my version of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol, an Elton Jim Christmas Carol, if you will. Hope you enjoyed it. I have a great time doing it. And that was quite a little chore there, but I enjoyed every moment of it. I hope you did too. And as I said, hopefully you can download that and keep it somewhere. And every Christmas, maybe pull it out and maybe it'll help give you a little Christmas spirit. That was actually done as a homage to Patrick Stewart, who did that same kind of thing on Broadway and in London. And there is a recording of him doing A Christmas Carol solo as well. And so I'm a huge Patrick Stewart fan. Always thought I'd want to do that, and so I got a chance to do it here at WGN. And now it's a chance for you to have it as a keepsake or just enjoy it anytime you want. So I hope you did enjoy my version of A Christmas Carol here on the Elton Jim's podcast. I'm not here on business. I'm only here for fun. I had a fun day today. I hope you did too. So once again, you are listening to Elton Jim Toronto's Captain Podtastic. And don't forget, it is the only podcast on the internet that goes from the edge of the web, or the end of the web, to your screen.